Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, Corey Majors. And of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing?
Well, Kevin, over the weekend, every single team I root for lost, except for the Stars, who only win 5-4.
But are you saying they're only going to win all of their games 5-4?
So far, they have only won all of their games 5-4. Oh. So that's what I said is true.
It was a tough football weekend for you, wasn't
man,
it?
It was brutal. Bro.
UNT, Oklahoma, the Cowboys. Sorry.
I got my first fantasy loss this weekend.
Oh man.
I'm already done. Like, I don't even need the Monday night game.
Are
I'm
you
done.
Embarrassed?
Thank you, Corey, for asking that question to me. This is a tough weekend overall. FC Dallas lost.
They lost too.
And I'll be honest, I didn't like the red card. So like there's lots of bad things that happened this weekend. But you know what? Today's Monday, and we get a chance to turn it all around, just like Garfield used to say, love Mondays.
No, Garfield famously hated Mondays.
I thought he hated lasagna.
I think you have completely misinterpreted all I'd Garfield.
I have to go back and rewatch the film. Drifts. I got to go rewatch the cuts on him.
Okay, you definitely should, because you got all of those wrong. All of them. All right, speaking of getting all the things wrong, let's talk about the Cowboys defense, professional transition. All right. Now, I had a conversation with a few people yesterday because I think we all...
In the world?
Yes.
Okay.
Feel like we know what the answer is to this. But if the Cowboys have the right personnel, then what's the real problem with the defense? Because that is...
The plays they call.
What Schottenheimer said... Yesterday, he was asked if he has the personnel to run Matt Eberflus's defensive scheme, and he said, yeah, absolutely, no question about it. And I got some pushback from some people who were like, well, what's he supposed to say? And I honestly, my answer was, well, clearly that's what we thought. We thought we had the right personnel. We thought we had made the right plays, but clearly that is not the case. So we're going to reevaluate not only the scheme, but the players and what we're doing. So something along that felt like far less positive, because the way he answered that question makes it feel like, oh, yeah, what a foolish question. Of course, we're awesome. And so then if it's not the personnel, what's the problem with the defense?
Can we say a combination of everything?
I mean, at this point.
Because the personnel is definitely like what you do with Donovan Wilson, you can't continue to do.
Yep.
Thought they made the decision that you know what? Everybody else that's watching that's been saying this is right. Because it seemed like they kind of made a couple of adjustments. I know injury was a part of it too, but you can't do that. So that person is part of your personnel. He does not fit what you're asking of him. Why are you continuing to ask him to do those things then? What is it about him? You're not trying to hide him in center field because you need him in center field.
Right.
What are you doing up? And then why are you playing Deron Bland 15 yards off of receiver whenever you have this play that needs to be happening right here, if you know that the linebacker that you have can't get there?
See, and I think Deron Bland is a better example of curiosity for me than Trayvon Diggs. I know what Trayvon Diggs right now is playing so far off the line of scrimmage because he doesn't think that he can either stay with or catch up to a wide receiver who outmoves him. So that's why he's playing so far off the ball. Now, if you think that's a product of he's still returning from injury and it was always going to take time, okay. If you think that's a product of he's donezo, well, that's obviously hugely problematic. It's probably problematic either way, but that second one feels really problematic.
This is one of the things, Kevin, where when I was saying don't lie to me, whenever I know what I see on the field, that line of, no, we have the personnel,
right,
is feels like a lie to me. And this is one of the reasons that a lot of Cowboys fans get so upset with Jerry Jones and Steven, because they'll talk to us. And I love the conversations we get to have. We get to have some unique, interesting, weird conversations sometimes. Mm. Sometimes they're tough. Sometimes they're light. It all kind of depends on how things go. But doesn't it feel like for the longest time over the history of bad times, Jerry Jones has said things were fine when they clearly were not?
Yes.
And that's what's that frustrates fans.
Yes.
So when Brian Schottenheimer is like, no, we got the pieces, that is, in my mind, him saying, I got to buy more time for whatever it is, or I'm covering up a lot of things by just saying, yeah, we got the pieces, it's going to eventually work out. Because right now, it doesn't even look like it has a chance to. So, Kevin, I don't think they have the personnel that fits it. I don't think the scheme is correct. And I don't think that the play caller is on top of his game by any means right now. The defensive play caller is, while Schottenheimer and Dak are in their bag, it seems that a lot of times, except for on that one that we really needed one, it just, and actually, isn't that two in a row? Like the Packers game, they got beat on that. This one, they got beat on that. That's where I feel like it's just a combination of all three things, and that you said was a lie because they don't have the pieces.
And I've already seen a lot of people say this. I'm sure that drum will continue to get beaten this week. I do not want to see the Cowboys make any trades with the first round picks they got. Now, if you want to make like Pickens-esque trades where you use some of your day two or day three draft picks for players that will be here, then I'm fine with that.
Like make moves that could be here for a couple
exactly.
years.
Exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. But there is no part of me, and I think for Cowboys fans, there should be no part of you, but I'm not going to tell you how to fan, who wants the Cowboys to trade any first round draft pick asset, because I just don't see how you could think that it's just one player or anything like that. Hell, Micah could be back on this team, and I still don't think I would advocate trading one of your, like, if you still had bonus first round draft picks to get another player. This defense just feels so far away. It is definitely further than one player away, and I do not want to see any future traded for this season.
Do you think it needs like a complete overhaul at every position?
See, not necessarily, and that's
because Ezeraku is still growing. You're dealing with growing pains there.
Look, and
Kenneth Murray is not playing well at all.
Yeah, Kenneth Murray and Jack Sanborn. I mean, look, and I know Sanborn obviously was still dealing with issues from his concussion, but it doesn't feel like they're the answers. This is where I think, and you're going to, I'm assuming, move on from Sam Williams at the end of the season because of his contract. But if you want to lean on Ezeraku and Leafau and hope that Overshown comes back, like, I see the promise of that, but in addition to a talent deficiency, you clearly have a scheme deficiency. It can be both.
Over the weekend in the pregame show, I heard Chiafalo say, hey, I'd love to try and snag DeMario Davis from the Saints. Older, still playing well, though. I think he did get burned on a play in this week, but it's fine. It's the
Everybody
Saints.
Does.
Kevin, and then, but brought us also, asked Steven on Friday, hey, you can slap me down if I'm off base about this, but what about a trade? Like, how would that kind of go? And Steven was like, I think you are off base. You know, we're not seeking it. We don't need it. If one presents itself.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel like they're just kind of hovering around waiting for something to pop up. And I don't know that they will use those picks, Kevin. I don't think they would to go get something. But somebody just texted in, you could get two players with those first two picks.
To what end? If you tell me
you get two players with two picks.
Okay.
Love that.
If you tell me that you think picking up, I mean, Trey Hendrickson or whoever, I'm assuming is the direction that this is going to go, and you think that's going to fit the defense, please tell me who those two players are. Because I think you could get not reincarnated. I think you could get prime Aaron Donald here right now and then go pick up another player, and I would still have questions. If you could get me, you know, prime Revis Island and prime Aaron Donald, then maybe I would listen to making those moves.
Well, and that's players make plays, right?
Yes.
You have players that can make plays? No, it doesn't look like it.
It does not look like it.
You're not forcing turnovers. So players make plays. You have more players. You can make those plays. The scheme is kind of part of it as well, but players make plays. Kevin, the line that your coach said so many times yesterday was we weren't physical enough.
Yeah.
And that this seems like a history now of this team lacking the physicality to go say, I'm going to push you around. They got pushed all over the place yesterday.
Okay. So, but not
they're not the players.
And that's an issue then, not physical enough where? On the offensive line where Tyler Smith agreed that they were probably
yes.
not.
On the defensive line?
On the defensive line where Rico Dowdle is the first player with 230 yards from scrimmage in back-to-back games since Le'Veon Bell 11 years ago. By the way, Rico Dowdle this season, 200 plus yards from scrimmage, 2 games. Rest of the NFL combined, 1. And so fine. Is it the defensive line that's not being physical enough? Or let's go to the secondary. Bryce Young against zone coverage, 85% of the time on his dropbacks. He completed 14 of 21 passes for 174 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Although that interception was obviously off of a drop. So you weren't getting to him then. Let's go back to the combination of the coverage and the pass rush. The quarterback for Carolina, he started the game 3 for 3 on passes of 20 plus yards. Do you know what he was going into this game? 3 for 12 with 2 interceptions. And no touchdowns, which means going
so that's
in
improvement.
No, it's I mean, for him, actually, yes, that's a huge improvement. But think about it. Going into this game, you were almost as likely to get an interception as a completion on a 20 plus yard pass from Bryce Young in the air. And instead, what did you get? 3 for 3. So like, OK, fine. Who wasn't being physical enough? The secondary? Is it the linebackers? Is it the defensive line? Is it the offensive line? Is your answer yes
no.
to all four of those?
Yes.
That's not
and.
Good.
Yes, and. Okay. I don't think you expected this, did you?
Oh, it's like improv.
Yeah, he didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. Yes, all four. And Carolina was more physical than you.
Yeah.
Like that. So it was like you can go out there and be not physical and play a non-physical opponent. They went out there and played an opponent that was like, we will be more physical than you, and they had no answer to it. And that right there, Kevin, when Diggs says we don't have an identity, when you know your identity, you don't get beat around like that. When you have the morale, you don't get pushed around like that because somebody in that huddle is holding you accountable and saying it's not going to happen to us again. So like that's the yes and. You went up against an opponent that said, we're going to push you around. They just did it to Miami the week before, and they had confidence they could do it again, and then they wasn't buckled up, as Rico Dowdle said. Like, that's the fear, Kevin. You're going to run into Denver here soon, who is going to be more physical than you.
Right.
You're going to run into more defenses and offenses on the schedule that are going to be more physical than you, and if you don't decide to show up, and say, I'm not going to let that happen, you're going to get pushed all over the field.
Okay, you just said something that I think is a football philosophical question. I'm sure some of it is internal inside of you, but what do you think is the breakdown between being physical? Like, just pure talent versus the want to? Because, like, that comes up with rebounding. Surely you can have some inherent rebounding and angle judging skills, or you can be like Dennis Rodman and just watch shot after shot after shot and learn the bounce pattern and say, I'm going to get it. Same question here with physicality. How much of it is just pure, raw strength and power versus want to?
75% strength and power.
Okay.
25% want to.
Okay. Because I actually kind of like
5%.
That's too much percent.
All right.
I actually like that because it feels like we do not do a good job of judging the want to. of players. So hopefully we can judge the measurables.
Because if you call a player soft, it's like, they're in the NFL. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
There's no way they're soft. They're in the NFL.
Comparably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, I'm with you.
Well, I saw what I saw. I'm not saying they gave up. I don't know. Maybe they're incapable of getting to that next place. You thudded up all during training camp. You thudded up as hard as you could. That thud not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hasn't transferred, not in this game at least.
So, two follow-up questions. Would you load up your fantasy roster with offensive players going against the Cowboys going forward?
1,000%. 1,000%.
And as one fan texter suggested, do you think we should now call it the Cowboys defense? Because there's no D there.
Oh, you mean like a fence door?
Shut up. I'm not getting drugged back into this conversation. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I'm curious to see how this conversation goes. Obviously, the Cowboys' defense was horrid, but how much, if any, blame falls on the Cowboys' offense for their final six plays? Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Snap is good. Kick's on the way. Kick is good. Time is at zero. Panthers win. 30-27.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. There might have been few games of which Brad Sham was more excited for the game to be over because, like most of us, Brad Sham felt like he represented fans yesterday. Dude. With his disgust of this defense, and rightfully so.
I was heading home in the fourth quarter after wrapped up at the Bearded Monkey. Awesome day for the Tolos out of the Bearded Monkey yesterday. We will be rolling another one out here soon. I'll let you know when. And I'm pretty sure that'll be the rock wall place that we'll be at this time. So I'm looking forward to that.
Pretty close to my house.
Somebody brought up some fatheads yesterday. I'll talk about that at 1 o'clock in the C block today. But also, Kevin, that was the feeling from me driving home, was listening to Brad Sham just crack jokes on how bad the run defense was and how, like, everything's 8 to 10 yards. And it just... He was so furious, and that's one of the things I have always liked about Brad Sham as the play-by-play broadcaster. He feels the way you do as a fan a lot of times.
Yeah.
He's calling those games. He's just as frustrated as you are in these situations.
Now, let's set forth the idea that we can all agree that the defense was horrid yesterday. Just absolutely terrible, all right?
So if anybody comes into this segment late, y'all tell them, hey, this is a specific discussion about something else.
We all agree the defense was terrible, but how much, if any, blame falls on the Cowboys offense for their final six plays? And here's why I include the final six, because I certainly understand how everyone is focused on that final series and the final three plays. I want to focus on the final six because you're down 27-24. And you're first and goal at the Carolina 8. Now, these next three plays would lead to a field goal, and that's all fine and well. And I don't want to pretend like maybe the Cowboys would have taken a 31-27 lead. Carolina would have done the exact same thing, except they wouldn't have wasted time and they would have scored a touchdown. I can't dispute that. That very well could have happened, but the Cowboys certainly didn't help themselves. So on the final six plays, how many yards do you think the Cowboys gained?
Seven.
Negative nine. Actually, I guess. On their final six plays, They had a positive gain on one of them. It started off first and goal. And you have the fumble, snap, catastrophe that turns out to do nothing but waste a down and move you back a yard. All right. Second and goal at the 9. You get the pass that's short to George Pickens. Why is that relevant? Because on your final 6 plays, that was the only time you targeted George Pickens. And I realize...
Yeah, that wasn't smart.
No. And I realize if we go to the next series, your offensive line did no favors to giving you the time to try to get the ball to him. But on a day where George Pickens seemed like he could do pretty much whatever he wanted, prior to that pass, he'd been targeted 10 times and caught 9 of them for 168 yards. All right. So if you're ever going to force the ball to somebody, now maybe feels like the time. So you have the incomplete pass there, and then you have the incomplete pass to Javonte Williams, which again felt like a give up pass that we're going to talk about in that next series as well. So you get 3 plays right there, and you do nothing, man, like nothing. And you lose a yard, kick a field goal, game's tied. Then the unbelievable, biggest miracle of the day yesterday, you force a 3-and-out. Now, did Carolina shoot themselves in the foot with penalties? Yes, but don't worry about that. You force a 3-and-out. It's 27-27. There's 8:18 left to go. For the first time, maybe in the entire game, the defense has been like, hey, we want to participate. And now the offense has the ball. And man, oh man, did they S the bed.
Yes. And this is the second time now, as I was talking about with the Packers game, Schottenheimer explained how that third down was affected in overtime.
And why they didn't go for it.
Bad play. They didn't go for him fourth because, hey, I got beat once. And he said the same thing about this drive, that it was covered. You got to give the Panthers credit for the work that they did, making sure that we didn't have the play. And that's scary to me, honestly. We don't have anything that can work in these situations. This is the time you have to have your best stuff. I do stress a little bit, Kevin, from that, but also because I feel like you're having to call your best plays all game long.
Right.
And at some point, they've seen it all because your offense has to do everything. Like every drive, you're like, we have to score. We have no other options. And so that is a little bit of a stressful thing because you've run out by the end of the game. You better open up. You better make that playbook deeper then. Like, that's the only other option you have right now is to make it deeper and make sure that you get these plays off the right way.
And so here's what I really hated about when you get the ball back. I know some people are going to point to first down. I get it. I am going to go to second down. We're going to play that audio in just 1 second. Cut number 9. All right. But you have a disastrous dump off play to Javonte Williams. It goes absolutely nowhere. I go back to what we kicked off the show with last week. Dak said, it's not pressure. It's not really pressure if you have a plan for it. Well, at this point, you got to know your offensive line is starting to falter. One of the reasons that play fell apart is because your offensive line came crumbling down in a hurry. Now, this next play was problematic for a variety of reasons. First of all, if you know that your offensive line might implode again, you have to be ready to get rid of the ball. And I'm looking right at George Pickens, just like the Carolina Panthers looked exactly at their tight end on fourth down. And they're like, what are you going to do about it? And secondly, what was disastrous about this is on Dak. You got to throw that ball at the feet or at the turf of Javonte Williams, not to Javonte Williams. And Javonte Williams should not have caught that ball, although I realize it's counterintuitive not to catch the ball when it comes to you. But go ahead and give me cut number 9, because this play just doomed it.
Second and 16, snap to Prescott, looking. Checks it down to Williams, and it didn't end well for him there either. He caught the ball and then was driven backwards to about the 30. The Cowboys started at their 46. And they have gone backwards 16 yards.
I know. Now, luckily, it was only 12. So, hey, all right. I realize you don't want to automatically depend on this. But from where the Cowboys started that drive, it's a 72-yard field goal for Aubrey. I know your goal is not let's kick a 72-yard field goal unless there's 5 seconds left. But my point is, you're what, 10 to 12 yards away from being like, even outdoors, I feel okay about this field goal attempt. Instead, in two plays, you're minus 12. Now you're at third and 22. And then, and only then, on the sixth play in the sequence we've been talking about, do you get positive yardage. And that's because of a BS dump-off pass to Hunter Lipke where you're like, I don't know what to do. So does the offense bear any responsibility for the end of that last drive and this drive in particular on, yes, once again, a day in which the defense was just the worst?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and they should. Like, they absolutely should take the risk, and they do. I mean, I've read a lot of the quotes. I've heard a lot of the quotes after. They take the response. They're not trying to throw their defense under the bus. They're trying to fall on the sword at the same time and right. be like valiant here because we got to protect the defense here. But if everybody out there, Kevin, I'm not going to say this offensive game was the problem.
Sure. That offensive drive was the problem.
That absolutely. But the game itself, this grouping of plays, not good enough when you needed it the most. Like this is the time that you need it the most and you can't deliver. Is it too tasking? Because of what you have to cover up the entire game and all that? I don't know about that because your opposing quarterback's the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Worst in the league.
Yeah, except against us.
Your offensive line, their run blocking was bad. Javonte Williams, who's been really good. Kevin, we've been calling for Nate Thomas.
Yes.
I was calling for Nate Thomas all day yesterday. Yes. I was like, please. I know they're going to continue to give the first round pick his opportunities. Man, I was just really hoping that we could get something rolling there. It wasn't good. And so, Kevin, that's another thing. That's another factor at this point in the game. Because what happens at the end of your game, you get a 6-minute drive against you for a field goal to win.
It was embarrassing.
15 plays, 71 yards, 6 minutes. Now, that's not me taking a shot at the defense. That's me taking a shot at the Cowboys offense here. Because, Kevin, what you just pointed out, if you could run the ball effectively.
Yeah, and you couldn't.
If you could do that, you could take time off the clock to get what you wanted, instead of saying we have to throw these passes. There were a couple other times I thought they panicked in the red zone and they're at the 7-yard line, and instead of just saying we're going to keep running this ball because they didn't feel like they could, they're like, let's throw it around a little bit, and there's incompletions and they have to take 3 points instead of seven. So yes, their inability offensively to do what they wanted to do in the run game also affected this drive at the end of the game as well.
Yeah, I'm disappointed because not only that drive, but the
everything,
last...
Everything, right?
Yes.
Like play calling, execution, all of it.
It's all horrendous. And obviously, Javonte Williams had a terrible day. I thought the offensive line had a very poor day as well. But you look back at that drive where they ended up kicking the field goal off of the three plays and then the ensuing three plays. In the previous four possessions, the Cowboys had scored 3 touchdowns.
How?
But then when the games, just throw the ball to George Pickens. And then when
that's the reason I asked that question was they forgot that Pickens existed late in that game. They're not giving him, there was a play last night, Kevin, where I looked on St. Brown And I was like, why isn't he getting the ball here?
Yeah.
And then I saw a cornerback and a linebacker moving with him and a safety over the top. And I was like, oh, because there's three.
Well, that's fine. And then you know the pressure's coming because your offensive line has been imploding. Surely there is some sort of other advantageous matchup in that point. But, yeah, they target him once in the final six plays. It's just it's frustrating across the board because you lose. And most of the blame goes to the defense. But in the previous three of the previous four possessions, the Cowboys scored a touchdown. And then in the last two possessions, they got 3 points total. And when you know your defense is the drizzling S, that's never going to cut it. And this offense has looked badass this season.
But
you did have the opportunity when the game was tied and the ball in your hand to do something. And the Cowboys went three and out and the Panthers marched down the field. And they very well could have scored a touchdown. I'm not here to argue against that whatsoever. But they went and won the game.
Was this loss bad enough to do something about it? Because offensively, do you feel like, hey, if we really, if we can just get some defense, we don't need to worry about that those last six plays because we're not in a situation where it's 27-27. 27-20.
So like on offense, it makes a lot more sense to me when they say the reserves are coming because
they do say that a lot.
Yeah, because Turpin is coming back and my God, we haven't even gotten into the catastrophe that was the return game yesterday. And do our Cowboys players know the rules?
I don't think they do.
They might not of the new NFL. So you've got him coming back. You've got Turpin coming back. You've got another two offensive linemen, one hopefully sooner than the other coming back. So I get that better than the defensive things that are coming back are somebody who's never played in the NFL before. And then somebody who might be back at Thanksgiving who struggled to stay healthy. Like that feels more disingenuous to me than on offense. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, we've had an opportunity to get our say in to start the show. Now it's your turn. 877-881-1053. We're going to open up the phone lines for, I'm assuming, Cowboys complaints.
Yeah, if you're excited.
If you're excited, I want to hear about that as well. Just remember, once the cursing starts, we're done with this. So 877-881-1053, call in. We will get to your calls next right here on The Fan.
At the Dallas 37, Clowney's pushing the pocket. Young on the run, throws wide open to the 10-yard line. Easy catch for Dowdle. And he's in for the Carolina touchdown, and nobody covered him.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, I know we don't frequently take phone calls. This scenario seems to demand it. I'm assuming Cowboys fans are mad. But if you want to call in because you're happy, then I am fascinated by that as well.
Yeah, but I've always said this show specifically, if you're very, very upset or you've won the World Series, that's when we take calls, usually.
Okay.
And if Dez caught it and people want to call in and say it wasn't a catch, I will hang up on you.
Okay.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
So it doesn't happen a lot.
Not a lot at all.
Let's go ahead and go to Roger in Dallas. Roger, how we feeling?
Hey, I just want to say I met you guys about a month ago at Uncle Julio's. It was really nice to meet you guys.
I didn't hear a word you said.
He said he met us at Uncle Julio's. I'm sorry. We'll go to the next one. I didn't understand.
He sounded like he was talking through a pillow for me, but I thought it was my headphones. So.
Hey, maybe he's at work.
Oh, he's trying to be quiet.
Hey, man. All right.
Roger, was it Roger, Kevin?
Let's go to Harrison in Mesquite. Harrison, can we hear you, and what are you thinking?
What's up, fellas? Just thinking, man, more defensive problems. With Eberflus, I just don't see the players putting the effort in anymore. And I think if you monitor Schottenheimer comments after the game, one of the reporters I asked him, do you think you have the right players to support the coordinator? He said, sure. But he's steadily, constantly talking about physicality of the league and his team. They're not being physical enough. And it's true. You can see it on the field. All day long. Rico Galvin made a comment, hey, I'm going to come out and they better buckle up. Man, I didn't see any effort from that defense, from not one player. It's not, we just can't say Donovan Wilson. Diggs had trouble. Linebackers had trouble. Defensive line, we paid those guys. They're not showing up.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to kick it over to Corey. I know he has thoughts about this, but for sure, I know some people are upset about Donovan Wilson. By no means is this a one-person issue. Bland had issues. Diggs had issues. Wilson had issues. Your entire defensive line, right down to Kenny Clark and Osa, had some issues. I am here to say the blame goes to everybody.
Yeah, this is my concern. Now, you can say, I never liked Eberflus in the first place. I don't want to replace a defensive coordinator in the middle of the season, at the beginning of the season. I don't want to do that for a variety of reasons. Now the defense has to learn how to do other things too. And you're hoping that you find a person that's going to come in here and know what the personnel can and cannot do, right? Like that's the, So my fear is all this work that he's been doing, trying to get this stuff together, maybe he's right there and you can't turn it. But Kevin, just like our job, just like everybody else that has a manager out there, the guy above the manager sees the thing that's happening in the workforce and starts going, why do they not look motivated? What is the morale of this bunch that they don't look like they're giving the effort? Fans feel that way. I felt that way a little bit yesterday.
Me too.
When I say effort, I'm just saying you got to beat your man. You have to defeat the person in front of you. Why couldn't you do that? And yes, 75% is physicality. There's another portion that's 25% is 100%. I know this sounds ridiculous, but that's that part that you're just like, I'm not letting it happen. I'm going to go win it. And so if you start to have your head down, your body language is bad, you start to believe that coach doesn't have that group, and that group is starting to fray, and you can't have that.
And don't worry, we'll talk plenty about the offensive line in just a little bit as well. But let's go to Jason in Midlothian. What is on your Cowboys' mind this morning?
Good morning, fellas. Brian Schottenheimer, when he was asked about 4th and 4, he made the, well, there's other plays. All those other plays led to that 4th and 4 being important. And on 4th and 4, you have Bland playing so far off the line, he did not have a chance to defend that pass, period. He was not put in a position to succeed, and he didn't succeed. You got to have him on that line and make them make the play. If you get beat, you get beat. But you got to have your guy in position to make the play, and he wasn't, and that's on Eberflus.
And I agree with that. I've always wondered, you know, like obviously we'll talk about run-pass option offensively, but defensively the same theory of Bland just kind of standing there and being like, hold on. This is silly. Like, I can see they're clearly going to the tight end. Greg Olsen tried to tell us, hey, they're going to throw the ball to the tight end.
Yeah, he did.
Maybe I should go ahead and scoot up 3 yards so I have an opportunity to break that up. I don't know. I would assume he has that kind of defensive autonomy, but maybe I'm incorrect about that.
Man, I'm glad you brought up the word autonomy, because I do want to ask this to you right now. The decision, if somebody was, because a lot of people are calling for Eberflus's job because the defense is
yes,
so bad.
Yes.
Does Schottenheimer have the power to do that? Does he have the power to go to Jerry
yes.
and say, if, this is not working?
I'm if not, ready. Then what the hell are we doing? Like, but then again,
yeah,
we've seen it before. So that's one of the things. And I understand people want to complain about the Jones family as well. We've just talked about this and been pretty consistent. That's never going to change, no matter how much I dislike it. Yeah. You dislike it.
I don't need to talk about it anymore because I'm
never going to change
from the conversation of it altogether.
Let's go to Daniel in Colorado. Daniel, you're in another state, but I'm guessing you might be just as irritated.
100%. And it's very frustrating. I was super excited because the offense gave us reason to be optimistic these last few games. You know, it was very, very optimistic. But between the Bears and now this game, it's like I'm back to being ready to where I was before the season of let's just kind of tank for get some picks to build up. And now I'm like, should we trade Javonte? Should we trade GP? Get more assets for these next couple of years.
I support that line of thinking. I supported that line of thinking the second they made the Micah trade. I guarantee you, and you already started to hear it from Schottenheimer. You'll hear it from Jerry Jones tomorrow morning. You'll hear it from Steven today. There is no chance in hell they're going to concede that yet. Do I think that's what they should do? Yes, I think that's what they need to do. You need to go at least 9-8 and 9-7-1. One would assume to go ahead and make the playoffs. Do you think this team can go 7-4 the rest of the way? I do not. Hence, I think your playoff dreams are over. But I've wanted to big picture this for a while. I can see how with Dak and Pickens and the way the offense clicking, they're not going to do that.
And that's the thing. Like, the defense is already wasting Dak's season, right? Like what you're seeing right now, the defense is not doing their job to help Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott has to stand there and be like, hey, man, I can be better. And you're like, dude, you were 71% yesterday, 81%. You're like, you're doing really good at a lot of these things right now. And the defense continues to waste what Dak is setting up. And that's where, at what point do you make the decision of, well, we're just going to waste a season for Dak anyway? Like you just said it. He's not going to do it. Pickens isn't going to do it.
No.
But Dak Prescott's sitting here going, I only have so many of these seasons left to be able to even try to sniff a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And what am I'm playing at my best. I might never have another season like this again. I'm going to go try to have another season like this, but things are rocking for me right now, and I need somebody else to step up. Joe Burrow had it very early in his career last year. And for Dak Prescott, it's getting later and later and later.
Let's go ahead and go give me Poncho in Corsicana. How the heck's it going this morning, man?
Hey, guys. Just calling in because I'm dead. I'm dead inside, so I really don't feel anything. Mm. I'm just glad that Dak had a great game. I'm glad to see, man, that boy's been battling injuries. So I'm happy, Kevin. I just want to say that y'all guys do a great job, great job. Something
oh,
like that.
Yes, yes.
Good, I wish great. We would have taken your call
great.
Sooner now.
It's good, great, yeah, yeah.
A great, great job. And Kevin, I'm so glad that you came back from, it's been a while, but you came back from rehab. And
no, Germany. It wasn't and, rehab.
Well, I mean, are we sure about that?
Cowboys might send some people back there, though. I don't know. Look, I appreciate the call.
Are we sure about that?
Okay, I am sure, but yes.
That's my new favorite caller today.
I am also, I think a lot of people are pleased that Dak's looked better than I thought he would so far. And like, obviously you take into consideration yesterday in the offense not getting the job done when the game was on the line. But I think Dak has played way better than I thought he would.
He said dead inside, Kevin.
I get it.
Does that mean there's no anger even left?
Yeah, because you don't care enough. Because people will be like, oh, the opposite of love is hate. Nonsense. It's apathy. All right? And I think that's for so many Cowboys fans, that's where they sit.
Jerry's biggest fear.
Yes. I am not in that camp this morning because I think me and a lot of other people thought this is how the season was going to go. I go back to it. I know I said it like 5 minutes ago. The second they made the Micah trade, I was like, okay, you see that this is the direction. This is the way, as the Mandalorian would say, and this is the direction we're going to go. But then the Cowboys keep sprinkling in, oh, maybe we might trade those picks to get better. And I really hope that they do not. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
This is the way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.